Thank you, Lynn. We'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. Everybody can please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Lynn, if you would mind doing the roll call.
Trustee Davis?
Yeah.
Trustee Doherty?
Here.
Trustee Dye?
Here.
Trustee Freckleton?
Here.
Trustee Haas?
Here.
Trustee Holness?
Here.
Trustee Howard?
Here.
Trustee Lloyd?
Here.
And Trustee Labai?
Here.
No public requests for participation.
Okay. We'll start off with the public hearing on policies.
Good afternoon. Is this on?
Wait.
Thank you. Good afternoon. This is the second reading of the first four sections of the policies as part of the SACS review. If we could, we could take these in sections, Mr. Chair, for approval. Policy 1.01, no change. Policy 1.02, no change. Policy 1.03, no change. Policy 1.04 is one revision, and that's just the number of days, faculty days, because it varies from year to year, changing it from 178 to 182. Request approval?
Any
motion.
Questions on those? Have I motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Do them by sections.
Okay, sorry.
Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes.
Policy 2.01, powers and duties of the board, revised to comply with statutes, certain terms, and also adding the requirement to use state purchasing agreements, which we've been doing for 12 to 15 years, but this is now in statute. Section 2.02, duties and powers and responsibilities of the president. These are non-substantive statutory changes. 2.03, direct support organizations, no change. The endowed teaching chair, there is a substantial deletion. And we are in this, it's worded, the word funding, we're changing to funded. Is that the second paragraph, Lynn?
Yes.
Section 2.05, composition appointment of the district board of trustees, changing this for compliance with statute. And 2.06, telephonic board meetings, no changes.
By motion?
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes.
3.01 is the code of ethics, no change. 3.02 are legal notices for the adoption of rules, no change. 3.03 is campus free expression. This is deletion of a state board rule in that section. 3.04, college awards program, similar change on the repeal of a state board rule. 3.05, college publications, no change. 3.06, property, no change. 3.07, college records. This is to delete a statutory authority set forth in the policy. 3.08, vendors, no change. 3.09, identity theft protection, no change. 3.10, copyright, no change. 3.11, harassment prohibition, revision regarding a statute. 3.12, network and internet use, no change. 3.13, mandatory reporting of child abuse, no change. 3.14, some non-substantive changes to Title IX compliance.
A motion?
Move approval, Section 3.
Second. Second. Any questions or discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes.
Section 4.01, the course syllabus, no change. 4.02, fees, no change. 4.03, faculty staff exchange, no change. 4.04, credit for military training, no change. 4.05, the Gordon Rule, some changes here to delete the reference to Gordon Rule and to add the State Board of Education rules into it. 4.06, fees for repeated courses. This is a change to revise in a statute that was changed. 4.07, academic freedom and responsibility, no change. 4.08, text forward affordability. It is changed for compliance with the statute and mainly the change from 30 days to 45 days as far as notifications.
A motion for this section?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Second. Any questions or discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes.
And the last one is section 8.07, the naming of buildings. This is also really to establish tangible and intangible assets and make it a more general statute.
A motion?
So move.
Second.
Any questions or discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion passes. Consent agenda. Any questions on any of the items in the consent agenda?
Chair, I need to recuse myself on H 146 and 93 that references the Palm Coast Music Festival as I serve on the board for that entity.
Okay. So if we have one recused, do I still take a motion for the rest of them?
So motion.
Okay. Second?
Second.
Any questions or discussions? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? And then for the one that was recused, we will take a separate motion. I have a motion for the...
So moved.
A second?
Second.
Any questions or discussions on that one? All those in favor say aye.
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 Recused. All those opposed? And one abstain, and motion passes. Dr.
Thank you. And thank you for a great retreat, and I think we've got some great direction to move forward to next year as we continue to help elevate this college for the community, and we look forward to it. Just a few highlights. Again, you know, as we kind of talked about the will to keep moving forward, you know, we did organize a movie night for the athletes that we house. You know, we know that these young folks need things to do. So we'd had our first movie night out on the soccer stadium. So they were able to, we did it in groups of teams of two, and they came out and put a blanket on the stadium and enjoyed an old-fashioned, almost like a drive-in movie without the car. So I volunteered one, I went there two nights, but one night I was on duty to just be there, and it was amazing. Actually, the quality of that video board was really good. So we did that for the athletes, and it went over so well that I'm looking at Hilton. We're going to have to do some for the general student population as well. It's been something that's been talked about, and just, you know, as busy as we all get. And I guess one good thing out of the pandemic is now we know it works well to do a movie night out on the stadium. So that went well. Also, I worked out an arrangement with Halifax. I forgot to mention this to y'all in my one-on-ones, but Halifax was great to set up a Daytona State College portal for any employees, their families, and students to get the vaccine. So it's been up and running for the week. And so, you know, we helped to facilitate that. So and it's really easy. Just go there, pick your date, and get your appointment, and they set you up with a second appointment. So we were glad to be able to do that. And a thank you, shout out to Halifax Health for helping us arrange that for the staff. Also had a meeting with Homes. Homes Brings Hope. I think you've seen it recently in the paper and is one of our agenda items here that, you know, a great new initiative to help, you know, families get into their first home. So we were part of a meeting. It's been in the works for a while, where our construction program is going to be utilizing some of their hands-on part of the program to do that on a job site and help renovate some of these homes that are being purchased for families. So we're excited to participate in that. You know, moving forward, we did do a convocation virtually, and that'll be hopefully our last virtual convocation. We'll move to in person next semester. Plans are underway for graduation face to face in the Ocean Center, and the chancellor has agreed to come to two of the ceremonies, so she will be here to speak for the second two of the three ceremonies. So Chancellor Hebda will be here. She's very excited to be part of that. And and then we've got a great event at 3:30. So I'll wrap up there and ask Eric to come on up to give the unfortunately Lonnie had a death in the family, couldn't make it today, and Keith, who was going to pinch hit, is not feeling well. So, Eric, I don't know how it feels to be number three on the list, but you're up.
reserve. Deep in the bench. I thought the power hitter was number four, but I'll be number four. Okay, we're presenting today for your approval the annual equity report. Just as a reminder, this happens every year at this time in April, and the report is in your packet. It is a form. The report and its form is provided to us by the state, so we have to work within there, and the data is provided to us by the state as well. There are always opportunities to improve. There are always opportunities to one of the things I like about these types of reports, it causes us to reflect on the year and what we can take and then what we can build upon in terms of some of our successes and some of the things we need to build more success on. So a big thank you to Lonnie, was a coordinator. Big thank you to Human Resources, Keith, some folks at Karen Sanders and folks in our division who helped put together this report and the responses. When we take a look at this, there's a few main categories in it. The first one is employment. The college is in compliance with Department of Labor and EEOC hiring requirements. And in the report, it even states that DSC is meeting and exceeding, representing the population who have the degrees to fill the positions here at the college. So that is a great thing. Moving on to our enrollments. We saw a slight decline in the first-time in college enrollments. Overall enrollment numbers were down as a result of the pandemic, obviously. Due to the college's outreach efforts, numbers are recovering. Our statistics in our categories are comparable to those at similar institutions. In the category defined by the state as black male first-time in college numbers, they increased, and overall enrollment remains flat. The college continues to address minority enrollment with a number of different initiatives. We have engaged with many members of the communities and many leaders out there, 43 just in December alone, to try to make connections and bring our staff out to them and help work with the populations to help engage them with the college. Hispanic FTIC and overall enrollment continue to increase, reflective of the community growth in Western Volusia County. Retention rates, we saw for full-time students saw a negligible decrease in male retention. Female retention remains relatively constant. Categories showing minor decreases from previous year were non-resident alien, black and white males. College's effort to increase graduation rates through various categories shows promise. In terms of working with our retention committee and our retention efforts, our MOSI coordinator is doing a great job in engaging students to help connect them, especially this time of the year, as we work to connect with students to get them enrolled in classes for the next semester, doing check-ins, and the faculty have been very helpful as well with doing their mid-semester reporting as well. His graduation rates remain steady. That's good, but again, something we're definitely working to improve upon. And then female graduation rates remain constant. Again, in talking about completion and retention initiatives, we have underrepresented population retention and recruitment specialists. We have our coordinator, our MOSI coordinator. We do have through Title III our institutional focus commitment. Guided pathways to completion, mentoring programs, student engagement opportunities. We try to award students financial aid in the spring, like right now we award students so that we can, let them know what kind of award package they'll be getting. They can apply for scholarships, and so they know that, attending college is a possibility and they'll be able to plan everything out accordingly. Next category, moving on to athletics. College is in compliance with U.S. Department of Education Title IX requirements in all categories, so we're very proud of that. And I know I went through quickly, yes. And again, in reviewing the report, we always have we know what we have to work on. We know how we can focus it. We work with our retention committee to do that. So I thank you.
And just inside the numbers, what I like when I see FTIC numbers increase, that's an indication of the future. So that first time in college numbers are up. That's a good sign. It hopefully will, you know, continue to grow the enrollment. And thank you, Eric. And a shout out to Betty. I think probably one of our best reports. And Betty has been instrumental in helping facilitate and helping us, you know, as she says, we do a lot and we don't necessarily always brag about what we do. So thank you, Betty.
You took my comments away.
Sorry.
That's okay. But I told Tom when I read the report, I said, I finally got more details, because every year I kept telling Lonnie, you're not giving me enough specifics about the program. So please extend my compliments to the committee that, like I said, we do so much. It was an opportunity for us to convey that message. So it was a great report.
And Lonnie's not here firsthand. Finally, you got there, right?
I'm sure Eric could tell him for me.
We will. We will pass it along.
This does require approval, so.
Have a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All those opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Brian, back to you.
First item is item that we would need the board's approval to file what's known as an amicus brief, which is really a friend of the court brief, with the exception of Mr. Lloyd. I'm sure the rest of you found this fascinating. The way they write is not normal, but the main part of this is to protect sovereign immunity, which does cover every aspect of us from the syllabus, so, you know, and all kinds of, we get suits and phone calls all the time, and that we're going to do this, and they say, well, we have sovereign immunity. Purpose of this is to maintain that sovereign immunity so we don't have a syllabus or even marketing materials that people say is an express contract. So we'd request the board's approval to go forward and file with the rest of the colleges and universities, and even late last week, some of the cities and counties are now also filing with the court, asking court permission to file.
It would be my honor to move approval of this amicus brief.
Second. I have a motion and a second. Any questions or conversation? I just have one, Brian. Has the state, per se, taken a position on this or filed support?
Well, Florida Department of Education has.
They have, okay.
And 12 public universities have all joined in.
Great. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes.
The second item, this is for informational only. This is just a copy of the legal opinion that we filed for the closing on the student housing. Informational item. The third item is a request for approval to enter into an affiliation agreement with Lucas Construction. This is the one Tom mentioned about with the housing and our construction trades. Our instructors will be on site at all times that our students are there. And so the students will be able to work with not only the instructors, but the subcontractors in the renovations of these housing. And these are the homes that are being sponsored by Homes Bring Hope. So we would request approval. Yes, sir.
Just who's gonna carries the liability coverage for the students?
Both sides will be carrying insurance. The insurance we have is through our consortium. We also purchase student accident insurance, but we are requiring the general contractor also to provide insurance under his general comprehensive. We've not worked out every detail on the insurance because a lot of it will be what their insurance company will agree to. But our consortium, I've already sent a draft of a contract, a very rough draft, and they're on board, and we just need to get it finalized on insurance. And we should be able to have an answer tomorrow from Lucas Construction as to what they do. We will get it nailed down. It is the first time we're doing this with the work. But majority of their work is already occurring at the ATC, in the types of work they're doing, Amy, will be pretty much the same. It'll just be on to the work site. And we do have that accident insurance for students and general liability insurance for the district board.
That's a great question. Does the accident insurance have a deductible? And is it that What would our exposure be if it did trigger a claim?
It's no deductible, but it's $25,000 maximum. We're looking to expand that, but you also can go, and Mr. Lloyd can help me out here again. We can go into other types of insurance here under general liability, because it always falls on, well, whose fault is it? Was it something the general contractor did, the student, or the instructor? We've had a minor accident out at the ATC, very minor, before. We have a bigger problem in our clinical sites with this type of insurance. So, you know, if they carry health insurance and the health insurance covers the accident itself for medical reasons, mm-hmm. but then we'll be throwing in a lot of different types of insurance.
Well, and again, I mean, I'm all for what the program is. I just want to make sure that we don't get, you know, have an unusual liability. So would they be covered under the contractor's workman, you know, workman's comp?
There's an intersection of a lot of different policies.
Right. That's why I'm concerned about it. Yeah.
But typically speaking, you've kind of got belt and suspenders, and you know, contractually, you're going to have, you know, all parties in this have some insurance. So one way or another, I think, you know, we're pretty well covered.
And again, this is when you have the sovereign immunity. So
correct.
There are caps on the limits. And that's why we're insisting the instructor be there at all times, so it's not just the general contractor who's overseeing this. Our instructors are there side by side.
Does Homes Bring Hope, LLC, do they have insurance that is applicable to this project?
Well, we had discussions with the LLC, and essentially being that they're sponsors, they're not contracting with the college. If we do, we'd have three parties involved, but they're not. They're essentially acting as a donor. And so for us to put them into the position of the liability issues when essentially they're just the funding mechanism.
Just asking.
No, it's a good question. We have had those discussions. We thought, you know, for the purposes of the three parties, the contractor is contracting with the LLC to do the work. We are providing students to the general contractor. Mm-hmm. We are not providing students to the LLC. They have no construction workers. They won't be on site.
Yeah, but the homes will be there, so they're working on property that will eventually be belong to Homes Bring Hope.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
So they're intricately involved in it because it's part of.
Oh, yes.
Great questions. Any other questions or concerns? And you say you're still making sure the insurance is.
Oh, yeah, we're still back and forth with our insurance company. We sent it to them 6 months ago before it got started, so giving them a heads up that what we were planning on doing, and we're on the phone with them last week about several of the issues on the insurance, and also talking to Mr. Lucas this week as to what he can do. The best thing is to provide an overall comprehensive general liability policy.
Maybe just a friendly amendment that we won't enter into it until
it's solved.
You're confident that the college is protected between the various policies?
Yeah, I would say that we next month we will bring back exactly what everything looks like.
I'm not, one of the things I want to make clear is I'm not trying to make it an obstacle, because I think it's great. Hands-on in the real world is important. I just want to make sure that we don't put ourselves in a precarious position in the process. That's all.
Yeah, it's a great point. I support both the cause and the fact it gives great experience to our students. So
right, and we will make sure we have the coverage we should, so we're all, you know, protected. The students are protected, and so we'll report back.
So do we need this approval before the May meeting? I'm just trying to figure out what action we should take now, that we approve you to pursue it and you'll bring back the final contract in May, or do we need the final contract done before then?
Well, if you don't approve us to enter into the agreement, then they cannot start until the next board meeting and classes would be over. So, and then we'd start in the summer.
Or the friendly amendment that you won't enter into it until you're confident that the insurance issues are solved?
The agreement will have a three-day termination clause, so either party can terminate with 3 days' notice. So it won't be a long term. It'll be 1 year, but with that termination clause, because if our instructor doesn't like the site, doesn't like what's going on, it will be terminated.
Randy?
It would just be an amendment that all insurance requirements are satisfied.
So we're adding a friendly amendment that they have the authority to enter into the affiliation agreement, assuming all the insurance requirements are satisfied. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Any more questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All those opposed? Motion passes as amended.
Thank you.
Facilities.
Good afternoon. We have one item today. It is for an addition to a project budget. This is for parking lots A, B, and C. We'll be right in front of it when we go out to the groundbreaking. They ran into some unforeseen conditions. The contractor, it's subterranean work, underground work, and on the campus we have a lot of, it's an older campus, which was, I believe, a military base in the past. We uncover a lot of things we don't know are there. So there were a few instances that they ran into some issues that had to be corrected. The total for those corrections amounted to $93,636. We did have contingency in this project of $40,000, of which there was $31,687 remaining. So we're going to use that for this. But we would also like to replenish some contingency for the duration of the project until it's completed. So what we're asking for is the addition of a total of $93,636 that I will need your approval for.
So moved.
You want to clarify? You're asking for 95,000.
I'm sorry. 95. We rounded it so that the contingency number equaled the 95. You are correct. Yes.
$95,000, and we had a motion.
So approved, yeah.
Second?
Second.
Second. Any questions or discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes.
Very good.
Great.
Thank you.
Finance.
Afternoon. I'll attempt to keep up with the pace of the others and with the financial report here. With that said, let's jump right in. First slide here is our operating revenue budget versus actual. We're now three-fourths of the way through the fiscal year, or 75% through the year. And as you can see, we've collected now $23.3 million of our tuition and fees. That's 87% of the budgeted amount. $33.4 million of our state revenues, or 70% of the budget, $7.3 million, or 78% of other revenues, $2.8 million of our board-approved transfers, that's 100%, and in total we've collected through March 31st, $66.9 million, or 77% of our $87.2 million operational budget. Taking a look at our expenditures, budget versus actual, the recap, we've now expended $41.3 million, or 64% of our personnel budget. $15 million has been obligated in our current expense budget. Of that $15, you'll see that $11.8 million is true expenditures, another $3.2 million in encumbrances that are tied to open purchase orders. $1.5 million, or 80%, of our capital outlay budget has been obligated. Of that, $963,000 of actual expenses and $561,000 of encumbrances. In total, total obligations is $57.8 million, or 66% of our operational budget. Removing the encumbrances that leave us at the bottom, actual expenses is $54.1 million, and that represents 62% of the budget. So as you can see, the 66% and the 62% cost control is taking place. We're 75% through the fiscal year, and our expenditures are far below that. So we're heading into that last quarter of the fiscal year. We typically taper off in terms of hiring, ordering office supplies, and what have you. So I think we'll be in good shape as the year winds down from a expense standpoint. This is a recap of our fund balance in our operational Fund 1 account. Starting the year with $15.2 million in reserves. Of that, $5.2 million is our 5% state required reserve. $2.4 million is the board designated reserve. $7.3 million of unallocated reserves. And then we had $248,000 tied to year-end encumbrances and rollover funds. So projected fund balance at this point in time through March 31st is the $18.8 million. Okay, this is showing a comparison of our revenues year over year at the same point in time. So as you can see, we've collected 77% of our budgeted revenues through March. Last year at the same time was also 77%. So from a cash collections and revenue standpoint, very consistent and what we more or less expect. This slide you're familiar with is the three-year analysis of tuition and fees. Again, this is through March 31st. The bottom line there looks probably a little more positive than it truly is. I'm saying that simply because we've had a little bit of a timing difference with our summer registration. This year we opened summer registration a few days early. So we were open at the tail end of March. So some of that revenue was put into this board report and then reflected in the 2021 column. Whereas last year that revenue was in April. And we'll kind of see it true up itself in the next board report. So just wanted to point that out. But all in all, with that said, you know, we're still hanging in there. I know some of our counterparts are not faring quite as well, you know, and some are slightly better. But we're the $23.3 million versus $23.5 million in total. Again, the other fees are helping us out a little bit. We're up in other fees. Out-of-state tuition's up some, full cost. So it's really the in-state tuition where we have the deficit compared to the prior year.
Quick question. Where the state programs that we were talking about earlier, the workforce development, would they show up in that line or would they show up in a different revenue bucket?
Workforce is in the continuing workforce, that the third line down.
Whether it was state funded or student funded, the revenue would show up there.
Yes.
I think are you talking about the that $1.2 million grant program? Yeah, that wouldn't be, would be fund
two. It's actually a separate fund.
So different than this.
Yeah. I was surprised by the downturn because of that, but
yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah, all grants and contracts come out of our restricted fund two account. So I, okay. Next slide is a comparison of the expenses from year over year, at the same point in time. So personnel, 64% this fiscal year versus 68% of the budget expended last year, 73% versus 81% last year, and in capital outlay, 80% versus 53% last year. So the two big ticket items, personnel and current expenses, are spending at a lesser rate than they were last year. Okay,
I'll just comment on, you know, so obviously because of the, you know, pandemic and, you know, not knowing, you know, not that anyone knows the future, but, you know, the state initially was holding back 6%. So we do some things to help that. So we build in a two-week delay when a position comes vacant that we decide to fill. Some we've just decided not to fill, but just to build in a little bit there, we would, you know, when a position comes forward, we decide whether we fill it or not. And if we say yes, it goes on a 2 week delay, and that just helps us gain some lapse money when we can. I mean, there's certain critical positions we can't do it, but we do it more often than not. And that's, I think, why you see that personnel expense also down, just a strategy we use to help out when. But one of the things it looks like there's a possibility that the 6% holdback may be not held back, which is good news too. So we may get that. And Marty, you might know something more recently.
Yeah, that's that appears to be a correct statement. We may get either the whole 6% or part of it. The Florida college system as a whole looks it looks like very positive news. I was just going to mention it when you brought it up, Tom. So we're not sure how that refund is going to manifest, whether it's going to truly fall into this fiscal year, this last quarter, or I've heard it could possibly come in next fiscal year. But either way, we would welcome it with open arms. Okay, shifting over to our Fund 7 Capital Projects Fund. This is our Fund 7 account. This slide is the overview of our major funding sources within that particular fund and the activity that's taken place through March 31st, so all the expenditures and the revenues received. And a recap of that prior slide is as follows. We started with a fund balance in our Capital Projects Fund of $41.1 million to start the year, brought in $4.4 million. Of revenues, and we've expended or obligated $16.2 million to date. Of that, $15.2 million expended, $988,000 still tied up in encumbrances, leaving a net fund balance of $29.3 million. Of the $29.3 million, committed is $15.5 million, and uncommitted at this time is $13.8 million. This is highlighting our major capital projects coming out of the Fund 7 account. We currently have 8 projects in progress. Near the top, the North parking lot, A, B, and C, and the News Journal floor renovation projects are slated to be completed in May. Flagler Palm Coast, we have a June target date for completion. High voltage upgrade project, September 21. The next two projects have been on here for a bit and have a June of next year timeline, and then the security camera and DVR replacements are June of 2025. Deltona Classroom, we know where we are there, still trying to secure that last bit of funding. And then the ERP is essentially just ongoing consulting at this time. And we now have 3 completed projects within this fiscal year at a total cost of $4.8 million. The demo building 210 and 340, Deltona Master Plan, and the Farooq Husseini Hall remodel project. And I am happy to report that all 3 projects came in under budget, so we did have cost savings on all 3, which was a very good effort on Mr. Wainwright's part and the entire team. So that concludes my financial report, unless we have any questions or comments.
Just one comment. You do not sound like ice, but you produce just like ice. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. if no other questions, then the final item here we have are our ACH wire transfers and checks that are over $50,000 each for the month of February, and then one list for the month of March. We present this each month for informational purposes for the board. So if no other questions, that truly concludes my report.
Thank you. Great report.
Yep. Thank you.
As Dr. Locklear makes her way up for the academic affairs, we talked in advance. She has a lot of items, so we're going to have her go through all of them. If you have a question for her on any one, I'm sure she'll take it as you go, but we'll wait till the end and just do one motion to take care of them all.
Okay, thank you. First, it is my pleasure to introduce this year's NYSOD Excellence Award winners. NYSOD is the National Institute for Staff and Organizational Development, and each year we select a few individuals from throughout the college community to honor with this recognition. NYSOD is a very large organization. It's an international organization. The mission is to advance teaching and leadership in community and technical colleges throughout the world. In fact, it's international. They hold a big conference every year in Austin. It's been virtual last year and this year, but nevertheless, the award really means something, and it is our privilege to honor a few individuals, especially in this year, as we went through such a challenging time. And so they are not here except for one today, and I'll introduce that person in just a moment. Our first recipient is Misty Carlson, Associate Professor and Clinical Coordinator for our Respiratory Care Program. If there was ever a time to honor respiratory care, this is the year. Misty was one of the very first people to organize donating ventilators and other materials to our local hospitals when COVID first hit, and she has done an amazing job in leading students through this very trying year in that very successful program, so we're proud of Misty. Dana Davidson is the Associate Director in the Academic Support Center. This is the center that does all the tutoring for all the different subjects around our all campuses. And Dana helped organize this to be virtual going forward so that students could meet in real time with tutors. She organized tutors to work nights and weekends so that students that were in now found themselves in online classes for the first time could get that real time tutoring. And she just did a fantastic job. Martin Galloway is an assistant professor of American Sign Language. Martin has done a lot to develop shorter term A and B term courses in ASL. ASL is meets the language requirement that the state of Florida requires, and it is very highly enrolled. It's very popular here, and a lot of that has to do with Martin. He is also the president of the Florida American Sign Language Teachers Association and has been for the past 4 years. So we're very grateful to have Martin on our staff. Dee Gay, I can't say enough about how many wonderful things Dee does. Dee is the chair of the School of Cosmetology and Barbering. She does a lot of, takes the students to do a lot of community service, such as haircuts for the homeless. She has organized many service learning projects for students. You see her out there in the community a lot. She is now one of the leaders of our entrepreneurial mindset grant that we got from the state, which is incorporating entrepreneurship into the cosmetology and barbering programs, as well as the vocational workforce programs, because many of those students want to go on to own their own businesses. So Dee stepped up. She got her MBA. She's been through every leadership program we have at the college. She's just an amazing individual. I'm very proud of all that she has done. Dr. Ben Graydon is professor of English and chair of the Quanta Honors College. It's Ben that negotiated the agreement with Stetson that got a full ride for Daytona State students that graduate from our Honors College and transfer to Stetson. And we've had about 20 students so far do it for a full ride at Stetson. And it was just really a great opportunity, and Ben has done a great job in leading that. Quanta is a unique program, as you may know. It's linked classes. The students meet 75 at a time, and they take three classes at the same time that are co-taught by three instructors with thematic subjects throughout. He's done it in science. He's done it in math, English, everything. It's just a really great, very successful program. Cheryl Cohen is the director of the Division of Online Studies, and my goodness, what a year this group has had. We went in 1 week from about a third of the faculty that had taught something online to everybody teaching online, and Cheryl led the way. She's also the person who implemented a 45-hour mandatory training for online instruction, which is part of what we did to be the best, one of the best in the country, right, in the U.S. News and World Report standard. A 45-hour training is a lot. It used to be 14 hours. It went to 45 hours, and she got all the faculty to do this, and then the Faculty Senate gave her an appreciation award, and if that's not telling that you could institute a training program and get an award for it, my hat is off to Cheryl Cohen.
All while pursuing, if you recognize the face,
yes,
pursuing her doctorate in that cohort program.
She's in the UCF cohort. Thank you. I meant to mention that. Yes, all the while pursuing her doctorate. This is a very special person that you see on the screen today. This is Cheryl Miller. Cheryl has been at the college for almost 22 years, and she is the work experience coordinator for the College of Business, Engineering, and Technology. And Cheryl's retiring this spring, and she is with us here today. And Cheryl, if I could ask you to stand, please. We talked earlier in the retreat about work-based learning and having students get that real-world experience. Well, Cheryl has been doing it for 20 years, more than that, and she is the person that links the students that are in one of the programs at the ATC with their work experience, and she guides them through it. Cheryl, I know you have had hundreds of students that this was their first job, or they weren't sure what they should do, or they were already employed and you had to link it to the class that they were doing. That one-on-one high-touch approach to students and caring about students is what's made Cheryl so successful. We were going to miss you, Cheryl. Happy retirement and congratulations on this award. And last but not least, Hector Valley. Hector is in the IT department but works very closely with us in academic affairs. He is the Director of Instructional Resources and Training. It's Hector that goes and sets up these classrooms so they can be high flex. He's also an adjunct instructor with us and teaches digital media. And so he tried it out first. So before he goes and tells the faculty this is how this is going to work, Hector's already taught a class with it or practiced with students, and so he knows how to do it. He has a great reputation for being a person that can make technology very accessible even to people who might be a little reluctant to use it, and we're so grateful for his leadership this last year. I don't think we could have done it without him. So thank you. Those are our awardees for this year. We congratulate them. All right. As Dr. Howard said, I do have a few items. And I will just go through each, and then I'll be glad to take any questions. And Lynn, you're going to run the slides on this. Okay. The first item is approval of a new program audio electronic specialist. It is an AS certificate. We already have a short-term certificate in this program plus an AS degree. This is somewhere in between. The short-term certificate we have right now is not financial aid eligible. It's too short. This one's a little longer. It will be financial aid eligible, and I think this will be a draw into this program. It includes the latest and greatest in the technology that students need, and the department did a great deal of research on what would help get them jobs with this certificate. The next item is a state-mandated change. This moves the barbering program from 1,200 to 900 hours. And so this reworks the curriculum to shorten that program. We don't really have a choice on that one, but the faculty have adapted to that. The next item are the curriculum changes for the Florida Law Enforcement Academy. And as we talked about in a prior meeting, we knew that CJSTC was coming out with new standards. I'll give you a very brief summary. It moves around a lot of hours. The program length does not change, but it incorporates themes from a specific report called the Community Safety Report. Now more emphasis on the subjects of empathy, emotional intelligence, procedural justice, police legitimacy, implicit and explicit bias, officer wellness, power imbalances, serving a community, de-escalation, and communication skills. The 13-chapter curriculum now focuses on three key roles of law enforcement: supporter, stabilizer, and enforcer, with added emphasis on the role of supporter. And so that's a very brief summary. I have more information on the curriculum if you would like it, and you have some additional, I think, in your packet. The next item is an approval of major program and course revisions to the Radiography Associate of Science. This has been a hospital-based program for a number of years. It's our program, but it's been mostly taught at Halifax. We're moving it back to be mostly taught here. And this is just a reorganization of the curriculum, just a few tweaks, really. It's no change to the length of the program. The next change is approval of major program revision in respiratory care, the AS degree. They've asked to create a new introductory course to better prepare students for the subsequent courses. A number of other state schools have this course, so we thought it would be a good idea to add it to ours. Shortened a few courses so that you could fit in this 3-credit introductory course, so no change in program length. The next item was mentioned earlier. It's the two new concentrations in the BAS, in supervision and management, one in human resources and one in supply chain management. and they are 15 hours each, two new concentrations there. The next item is a new major course revision. This is a new course created in Digital Audio Workstation. It will be in both the AS degree and the new certificate. I don't know a lot about Digital Audio Workstation, but the people that do tell me this is the thing to have. So I am going with their recommendation. So this is a kind of a high-tech course there. And then the last one, I think, is approval of two new courses, Gender and Society and Race and Ethnicity. These have both been developed by Dr. Michael Floda and his faculty. He's the chair of the Behavioral and Social Science Department, a sociologist, and the author of a sociology textbook. He's also going to be the one who teaches them. We will offer one, if not both, this fall. Very excited to bring these courses out. We think we'll have a lot of interest. They'll be elective courses for the AA. I'll be glad to take any questions.
I have a motion.
Motion.
So
second.
Second.
I just have
questions
a question.
Or discussion?
Yeah. Just a question on the audio electronics. Can it teach us how to tell Alexa on a master on a remote control how to switch different functionalities?
Yeah. I will have to ask about that.
I may sign up for it.
I would hope.
Any other questions or discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All of your motions passed.
Thank you.
Tom, constituent heads.
Okay, so we're going to start with our star. I think this, did you make the last one? Might be his second personal appearance, but good to see Hilton Smith here representing the SGA. Come on up, Hilton.
Executive board meeting. First, I would like to say I'm happy to be here in the presence of human beings and not Microsoft Teams. But I'm happy to be here. I'm going to make this brief because I know we have to get to the groundbreaking. So we've been doing a great job this semester with SGA. We actually have our club banquet tomorrow. It'll be virtually. At 2:30, we're expecting it to be a great turnout. We have, and we're still getting more clubs today to participate, so that's a great thing to give back. We had our FASIGA conference. It was a great success. It was held on April the 8th through the 9th. We also had one of our officers take a secretary position for the fall, which we think, you know, because it's hard right now, with everything being virtual, to get a lot of people. So we had great success on a lot of things. We put together an elections project survey to engage the students and encourage them to vote. April the 16th is the last day to put in your applications for elections. And we already have many applications. So that's a great thing in these times. Elections will be held on Earth Day. I believe it's the 18th to the 19th. We collaborated with other colleges, putting together a pen pal project, which was interesting because it was a great success, but we plan on bringing it back. And like Vice President Kennedy was saying, you know, in times like this, you're building on projects, and I think the SGA done a great job. And we wanted to say thank you to all of you because I see everything that you all do, and I actually take that back to the students and let them know. So special thanks to all of you. And we've been working with the Student Digital Committee on a survey for the students for the mobile apps and different things. Thank you.
Thank you, Hilton, for your leadership. It's been an interesting year, and thank you for keeping things moving there on the SGA side. Okay. Next, we have Dr. Carla Moore for Dr. Alicia Ellard for Administrative Council.
Good afternoon. The Administrators Council met at the end of March. We reminded the group to send out nominations for officers. Our nominating committee has started reaching out to those who were nominated to determine if they were interested in serving, and our ballots will be sent out to our membership soon. We also talked about college-wide diversity and inclusion initiative. Chris Tom shared how equity and inclusion will be featured on the college website as it's being redesigned, and also talked about online advertisements that are in Spanish to reach out the local Hispanic population. Karen Sanders, our Director of Admission, shared about the approaches that admission uses for minority student outreach, including having a dedicated recruiter for minority outreach, minority success seminars, and meeting with community members, churches, and area schools. DSC has an increase in minority applicants since this approach has been implemented. Keith Kennedy shared that the college has conversation with policy or police about diversity and policy with Black and Hispanic communities. The council plans to add diversity and inclusion initiative as a standing item on our agenda. Finally, the council talked about having a book club where membership can read a book on leadership and discuss what was read. We have chosen our first book, Dare to Lead by Brené Brown, and plan to discuss it in the fall.
Great, thank you. And for Career Employees Association, Amanda Schroyer.
My name is Amanda, and I am the new president of the Career Employees Association.
Yay.
I was the vice president for a couple years, and I decided to accept the other position. We do have a communications liaison, Samantha Tatum, who is continuing to do that. But we are still looking for other officers, vice president, the secretary, and the treasurer. So we are still working towards that. We have also started an employee recognition award program. And this month, we have chosen two recipients, Sarah Carter from the School of Emergency Services and Mary Luz Esposito Vargas from the Assessment Services Department. So we're asking each career employee and department head to nominate career employees that they feel you know, special to their department, or that little extra effort, and recognizing them for their daily efforts. So we're working on that, and then we're just, like I said, trying to find more officers for our group and trying to get more involvement in the Career Employee Association.
Thank you. And I have just a quick note from Dr. LeVon Tau for Faculty Senate. Faculty Senate has just finished the election for president and vice president to begin this upcoming fall. The president will be Paul Capps. Paul's from the math department, and the vice president will be Liz Barnes. Liz is the director and chair of the Writing Center and academic support, and teaches English. The Senate has also voted on emeritus faculty, and those nominations will be sent to executive staff soon. Finally, the Senate is in the middle of the voting on Faculty Senate awards, the award recipients, and the emeritus faculty will be presented during the fall planning. And attending is Billy Joe Dunaway for professional counsel.
Professional Council met March 26th, where we talked about the retirement options that are offered from the state for here, as well as student loan forgiveness programs that we qualify for because we work for the state. We also solicited nominations for an Unsung Hero Award for professionals from us, among us. We had 6 people nominated. We then voted for our professional employee for April, and we decided that, hold on, I gotta find my note. Michelle Church is our professional employee for April. She works in our IT department. She's often not seen, but does a lot behind the scenes. She's dedicated her time to helping find solutions to problems, especially things with software implementation, working on IT test environments, all these things that I don't understand, but she does, so that's wonderful. So she is our employee of, our professional employee of the month. We're gonna have our next meeting, April 23rd, and we're gonna solicit for another award, our problem solver award. So any professional that you know of that is a problem solver, that'll be the next award that we solicit for. Thank you.
Thank you, Billy Joel. And that concludes the constituent group.
And if my fellow board members will indulge me, I'm keeping an eye on time. The ceremony starts at 3:15, so we may skip the around the horn. I'll just end maybe with 2 quick thank yous.
3:30.
Oh, 3:30. So we do have enough time.
Yeah.
Well, maybe 3:15 was my target.
You got me nervous for saying like that.
Good. I was about ready to run out too, yeah. Maybe 3:15 was a target to end. So
yeah. So
we do have time, briefly. Just real quick, 2 on my front. First off, I want to thank the board. I've been involved in a lot of boards. I know you guys have, and it's I'm always impressed that there are no personal agendas. Everybody really does focus on the mission, which is what we should focus on, and it's students and it's community impact, and it's just a pleasure working with everybody. So appreciate all the time and effort that each one of you put on to your efforts here. And then today, as we've already talked about, but I think worth noting with everybody here, Tom, you and your entire leadership team, or for that matter, the entire college, but it takes a leader and it takes a leadership team, have just done amazing work. You know, when we talk about leadership, it starts at the top and it goes downhill from there. And you guys have hit every obstacle. You've kept making progress. You've kept, meeting the goals we're trying to meet. And so from the board, from me, just thanks to you and thanks to the entire team sitting around the table here. You guys have done a great job, so we appreciate all you do. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Vice Chair Betty.
I attended the AFC Legislative Conference this past Tuesday and Wednesday and represented the board. It was an interesting conference. I went off and left my notes at home. My poor mind's gone. But they did share some of the status of the legislative bills, which Tom shared with us, and it is looking positive. Mm-hmm. And I learned that Florida Enterprise is coming to our campus. Mm-hmm. I didn't get the date.
It's in June, early June.
Okay.
If anyone knows the date off the hand, but yeah.
But he was encouraging people to come. Mm-hmm. They mentioned about the fact that they would have a list of available interns. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm always asking, where are the internships? So he said that they should have a list of available interns that would help our students. And I'm excited about a groundbreaking coming up. Yep. We've been talking about it so long, and to finally see it happening, it is something. Thank you.
Bob?
I just want to reiterate your words, Randy, and complimenting everybody, and thanks to my good friend Tom. Thank you for all you do.
I just think it's great to be able to reflect back on what was done and accomplished over the last year, knowing what everyone went through. So thank you all for that.
Thank you. Gary?
Yeah, ditto on what you said about Tom. Hilton, to be the head of the student government in all of this too had to be a very interesting challenge also. And I thought Randy had the brightest sport coat here today, but you have taken him over. Great job there.
Let's check on the socks. Let's check on the socks.
Come on.
Well, I got 8 more payments.
We'll duke it out the next time.
Yeah, exactly. But also, too, I just want to say the Palm Coast Building Improvements, kudos to Chris and his team. They, for those of you that haven't seen it yet, they're really coming along beautifully. And finally, I just want to let everybody know that I'm really thrilled that 2 of our songwriters that are coming are going to actually join Jake Nicely and his team over at the Mike Curb School of Music and actually perform for them April 29th by the Performing Arts Center outside, and actually kind of do like a Q&A with the people that are in the music school, along with performing and telling the stories behind three or four of their songs. Anthony and Brett, between the two of them, probably have 15-plus number one hits that they've written themselves. So, but they'll be doing that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bob? I'm just going to ditto to our chairman's comments. They were spot on, and I'll yield the additional time to the next meeting.
Real quickly, thank you, Amy. The awards, the DSC awards for those employees, you brought each one of them to life for us.
Yes.
Thank you so much. And I just felt so proud that these folks work here at our college. So thank you.
Thank you. Lloyd?
Tom, to you and your staff, to all of the college and the students especially, what a heck of a year you've gone through when you've come through with flying colors, looking ahead to do better things. So thank you all. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Andy?
Real quick, I just want to thank the department heads and staff. The reports are concise and very detailed, very informative, makes it easy to operate as a trustee. Thank you.
Thanks, Randy. One thing I forgot to mention, and I meant to, is I wanted to thank Gary. We'll thank him again at that dedication, but Housing Corp did a great job. You represented us on that. Appreciate all you've done for that. So.
And if I just, again, I want to say thank you to the board, thank you to the team, and thank you to every single Daytona State College employee and student to get us where we got to today with all the challenges we had. It was 100% team effort, and I'm thankful to be here, and again, thank you to the board for your support.
All righty, be adjourned, and we'll reconvene shortly.